I have a sister who was in virology for 30 years at Rollins Lab in Raleigh, North Carolina. And she's tested dozens of coronaviruses. And the first thing that I learned about a coronavirus is they're all weak, like the flu or the common cold. There's nothing strong or dangerous. Chickens get coronaviruses. It doesn't even kill the chickens off. Unless somehow or another they're walking all over top of each other and they're stepping in each other's poop, things like that. Same thing with pigs. So the way they work it on farms is they'll do some segregation to take the infected ones away from the ones that aren't infected. But we're human beings. We don't live like that. We're not walking around each other's crap. We're not doing those kind of things. We're not an animal like that. And so it's like she said from day one, if you don't want to get the coronavirus, just wash your hands and keep them out of your mouth and your nose. It's real simple. And here we are at a point where they shut down basically the entire world economy and ruined a lot of things. Because I'm going to pull up the international health regulations. I got them up in front of me. From 2005, all of them signed off on by all 194 nations in 2007. And then I'll talk about the World at Risk document, which was last year in September 2019. But just to cover that real quick about viruses, in looking at how they work, they actually don't work. A virus is an infection. It's not a disease. It's a poisoning event. And if you get one, people say, well, you got to have a cure for the virus. Well, the cure is already in place. Drink some orange juice, cough for 7 days, you'll be fine. It ain't like curing cancer that takes you months and months and months. That's a disease. So it's just an infection. It may last a little longer than, say, food poisoning, but it's also a different mechanism. One's in the gut, the other one's in the lungs. Now, what's interesting to me, people want to cure. They think they're going to get a vaccine and that's going to cure COVID-19 or some coronavirus. But the common cold is a coronavirus. They got a cure for the common cold yet?
No.
No cure for the common cold. And they're telling us that this coronavirus is pandemic in nature. Well, there's a lot of things that are pandemic in nature, meaning it just affects many people. Pan means many and demos means people. It affects many people. There's a lots of things that affect many people. Not getting enough education is one of them. And that's a worse epidemic in my mind than anything else going on the planet right now. All right. So I'm going to move forward now into something that applies to what we're doing here in this group, because I know that vaccines have been talked about, and I know that this virus, this alleged pandemic, has been talked about. And I'm going to start with what happened last year. It came out from the World Health Organization, A World at Risk. This is the annual report for global preparedness, September 2019. I'm sure lots of people on this call have read this. So I'm going to go straight to page 10, and I'm going to address something in here that people don't understand about how international law and the law of treaties and how all this works, because it is the supreme law of the land everywhere around the globe. And if it wasn't, with the advent of the UN, it now is. The whole paradigm changed when they set up the Security Council and put the Security Council in charge of maintaining global peace. And so all countries must build strong systems. This means must. And part of this says, and routinely conduct multi-sectoral simulation exercises. That's on page 8. And if I go down to page 10, same thing in point number 7. This was their executive plan, their executive summary. The United Nations must strengthen coordination mechanisms. And they do this by enhancing leadership for preparedness, including through routine simulation exercises. Now, this ain't new. If you go through this document, it talks about the IHR 2005. This is International Health Regulations, and this was the last time they were revised. It actually started in 1852 with sanitation treaties that ended up not really being signed, but they were talked about. They first started getting signed in the 1890s, and if we pull that forward, somewhere around 1969, they started doing major work with international health regulations, especially towards shipping and sanitation and things like that. So it started out, in my opinion, with a great purpose, a really good purpose, and now it's been, in my opinion, perverted into something else, specifically because of vaccines. So in 1995, they revised the health regulations from 1969, and then in 2005, they did it all over again. And then it was all ratified by the 194 nations in 2007 and took effect. So in risk reduction and emergency preparedness, World Health Organization's six-year strategy for health sector and community capacity development. This is in 2007. It's called Health in Crisis. And I love the Control F function because I can type in the word simulation again from 2007, and I'll find that this word is in here twice on page 17, that the World Health Organization should prioritize and develop joint health sector emergency preparedness plans within the existing health sector coordination mechanism, as well as the health sector contingency planning, with regular updates of methodologies and planning for exercises and simulations. Simulation means like fire drill at school, you know, you go outside and an hour later you come back in. And a little further down on the page, under a different section, 2.5.4, improving knowledge and skills in risk reduction and emergency preparedness and response in the health sector. And it says to improve these skills and knowledge, so who will work with member states and other partners to promote the development of sound, credible training and educational material and encourage the organization of courses, workshops, simulations, and other mechanisms of the transfer of knowledge and platforms where health emergency managers can share experience and material at local, national, regional, and international levels. This word simulation goes back to 2007. It's actually not talked about in the 2005. What is talked about in 2005 in the international health regulations is the word vaccines. Vaccines and prophylactics for travelers administered pursuant to these regulations or to recommendations and certificates related thereto shall conform to the provisions of Annex 6 and, where applicable, Annex 7. Now, this is an 82-page document in PDF, and I'm on page 32 under health documents because they're going to require people have health documents. It literally says in Article 36, certificates of vaccination or other prophylaxis. Certificate of vaccination is COV. COVID means certificate of vaccination identification. You have to be identified as the individual who has the certificate. So now I'm going to go down to page 52, Annex number 6, vaccination, prophylaxis, and related certificates. And so it's telling you in here, vaccines and other prophylaxis specified in Annex 7 or recommended under these regulations shall be of suitable quality. Those vaccines and prophylaxis designated by WHO shall be subject to its approval upon request. The state party who shall provide the WHO appropriate evidence of the suitability of vaccines and prophylaxis administered within its territories under these regulations. Certificates under this annex are valid only if the vaccine or prophylaxis used has been approved by the World Health Organization. And I'm not going to go any further into this. It's an 82-page document. But on page 53, they already have this Model International Certificate of Vaccination. This is to certify that blank name and with date of birth, sex, nationality, national identification document, if applicable, whose signature follows, has on this date indicated been vaccinated or received prophylaxis against boom name of disease. In accordance with the international health regulations, this certificate is valid only if the vaccine or prophylaxis use has been approved by the World Health Organization. The certificate must be signed in the hand of the clinician who shall be a medical practitioner or other authorized health worker supervising the administration of the vaccine or prophylaxis. The certificate must bear the official stamp of the administrating center. However, this shall not be an accepted substitute for the signature, meaning your signature. And let's see, down below this, we go to Annex 7, which basically says, in addition to the recommendation concerning vaccination or prophylaxis, the following diseases are specifically designated under these regulations for which proof of vaccination or prophylaxis may be required for travelers as a condition of entry to the state or state party. And the first one is vaccination against yellow fever. Okay. Well, Nate, I tell you what, why don't we just open up for questions?
Okay.
I want to know if anyone has any questions about anything that I just read or if they have any comments. We can talk more about what a vaccine is, and we can also talk more about what a virus is if you want to do that.
Okay. We have Baba.
A few things I'd just like to bring up. Incidentally, none of my children got vaccinated. We would not allow our children to take that.
Well, here's the thing about vaccines.
Yes, sir.
As everybody's saying, they think this vaccine is going to be a cure. They're being programmed to believe that this is going to be a cure. Now, let me ask you, Baba, what is in a vaccine?
I don't really know.
Nobody wants to get this virus. Everybody's scared to death of the virus. The virus, the virus, the virus. The virus is in the vaccine.
Right.
So what you're talking about is developing your immune system and building antibodies. You get bit by a snake. What does snake venom consist of? It consists of the antibodies that go in there and kill those enzymes and proteins that cause the snake venom to be poisonous to the body. But it's a poisoning event. That's why viruses are infections. Food poisoning, that's a bacterial infection. A viral infection is the same thing. Dan has talked about it, and I talk about it quite a bit, in that they have actually come out and said that this COVID thing is a random strand of RNA. Now, that would actually mean that it's a lot smaller than DNA, because RNA is just a little message that popped off the DNA. That's all it is. If that's true, then what is wrong with that RNA? Has it already been used? That cell died? Well, what happens when our body has cells that die off and they replicate? Well, they got to be moved out. What's going to happen to anything? It's going to start to deteriorate. You bury a body in the ground. We're made of mostly amino acids and proteins. Everything else starts eating it up because we just became food, right? So
yes,
that
sir.
Means all of our DNA and all of our RNA and all of that stuff is going to degrade. Well, if it's degrading inside of our body, then the body's going to do the same thing. It's going to create the antibodies and the proteins and the enzymes necessary to shuffle that stuff out of our body. Now, if somehow or another that gets reabsorbed, say, into someone else, maybe they don't have the same antibodies that we have. And that gets into their body, and now this is surrounded. They call them capsids or envelopes. They say these RNA strands are surrounded by an envelope. That envelope is a protein. It's a mucoid protein. Like in our lungs, we get mucus and we cough this stuff out, right?
Yes.
So if it gets in someone else's body, can it cause them to be poisoned and have the infection? And the answer is yes, if they don't already have a certain level of immunity and antibodies already built up. Now, I know this from my sister who's working with the lab. If you've already had a certain amount of viruses, you are less likely to get another virus. It doesn't matter what it is, because you're building your immunity. It's like she said, even yesterday we were talking, she said, let your kids get sick. They need to build their system. It doesn't hurt them to get a little sick. They got to build the antibodies. There was a guy over in London I was watching one time. He has injected himself with really, really small amounts of snake poison, over 100 snakes. He's now immune from being bit by any of them snakes.
Mm-hmm.
His body built the immunity. It built the antibodies. He almost killed himself one time, which was interesting watching him. He was like, yeah, he almost overdid one. So here's the bottom line of a virus. I'm looking at it going, the cell wall itself is designed to protect the cytoplasm and everything inside the cell. Why would it take up a protein that it doesn't need that looks like something that already has been discarded either from their own body or from somebody else's body? That thing is designed not to take in things that the cell cannot use. Now, let's just assume, I've heard people talk about, well, they're now using nanoproteins to get past the cell wall. I don't know whether they are or not. They do have something like 1,300 bioweapons labs around the planet, so who knows what they're doing. Obviously, they have a bioweapons lab unless they're creating bioweapons. So if this is true, once it gets into the cell wall, it's still got to get into the nucleus. But the nucleus itself would have to dissolve those proteins to get at that strand of RNA. That strand of RNA is not powered by anything. It's inactive. It's been discarded from something else anyway. What is going to activate that? Well, it would have to be the mitochondria, because that's what activates everything in the cell. That's the power source. They say that these RNA and DNA strands rewrite your DNA. But you've got a perfectly functioning strand of DNA already there. Why would it allow something else to, quote, rewrite it that actually has no energy and no power anyway? That mitochondria is designed to power the DNA you already got, not some random thing that's just floating around in the air. So what is the poisoning event? Well, it's always the interstitial fluids. Our blood cells float around in blood plasma and all these different things, and our cell walls are designed to take in proteins and nutrition, but they're also designed to take in minerals, which help control the pH and all the integrity of our body. Our innate immune system is so intelligent, we can't even fathom it, because we are on autopilot 99% of the day anyway. Here's the reason why you don't take vaccines. Here's the chief reason. If you get a cold and it infects your lungs, the lungs itself are a filtering system. And that's how it starts creating the mucoid proteins, and your lungs get heavy, they get a little mucus, you cough, you get a runny nose, you get all that kind of stuff. That is part of the cure. I, in my opinion, and I can't see where it would make any logical sense, is that if they actually really created something that was a vaccine, they say they attenuated it, they made it weaker or whatever, then you would inhale it into your lungs to build the immunity, not inject it into your blood. It is not intended to be injected into your blood, because now you got no filter system. It's just going to go right in there and start bouncing off blood cells. I'm not saying that the blood cells are going to absorb it, but it would be the least effective way of building immunity for what they call a rhinovirus. That's just based on all the research I've done. I see no reason. And there's actually something in the veterinarian community that they use called nosodes, which are to immunize dogs and cats. And it is something that they do in their nose, not directly injecting it into their blood. So I hope that kind of answers how viruses are made, how they come into being, how the body gets rid of them. And let's be honest about the vaccines. 2 weeks ago, I went to see a friend of mine in Dunn, North Carolina. He and I graduated together. He's an attorney now. His daughter's 16 years old. She had a dance class where one of the students in the dance class, her mother, took this girlfriend of hers over to a doctor to get a flu shot 2 years ago. She still can't walk today. People are putting stuff in their bodies. They have no clue what they're putting in their bodies. And I tell people, like, this is insanity. If you go to Walmart, I can actually read the label and it'll tell me what's in that product. Are they giving me that if I walk into a doctor's office to tell me what's in that thing?
Well, I'm really glad that we didn't give our children all these vaccinations. What you're saying to me makes a lot of sense, and I appreciate it.
Anyone else, Nate? Somebody else?
Okay, no, I don't have anybody else unmuted at this point. One of the common things I've seen when some of these vaccines have been uncovered that's been in a lot of the vaccines was mercury. What use does the human body have for mercury other than a poisoning effect?
Yeah.
Things that are known to be carcinogenic to humans, they're putting in the vaccine. And why? They are experimenting with people, putting things in there that really have been known to kill people.
Yeah. Now, this is what's interesting about international law in the sense of, like, the law of treaties, the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties, which is about how treaties work. And it says that everything is by free will and consent, as far as signing on to treaties, for the entire nation state. But it also says that the Pacta Sunt Servanda rule applies. And what Pacta Sunt Servanda means, it's Latin for all agreements must be kept. So once you make the agreement, just like signing these health regs, all 194 nations did it. When the UN came out and said all nations must do this, that's because all agreements must be kept. So when it said back in 2007 in that document that they were going to run simulations, and then by 2019, they're putting it right in the document that all heads of all nations must run a simulation, or it actually said they're going to run two simulation exercises, one for accidental release or intentional release. So we don't really know what they're doing. All I know is that I found that by doing what I did, doing what the founders did, exercising self-determination, becoming an ambassador for another jurisdiction, and then to 2014, I was asked to take it over. We're now building a new society. We're building the state. We're building something different. And under those rules, I have immunity. I don't mean vaccination immunity. I mean diplomatic immunity. I mean political immunity, where if somebody says, well, what if they come at you with a needle? I'm like, you're not coming at me with a needle. What are you talking about? Because I'm not one of the people that has subscribed to the I must follow their simulation exercise. But I do take it that when it says this is what they must do, when it says they must run a simulation, then they can't be running the real thing, because that would be a violation of the agreement.
As a matter of fact, I remember one day I was listening to something, I think it was a news event or something that was played back on YouTube, where I think Secretary of State or someone was speaking, and he said, oh, it's only a simulation. It was kind of a slip of the tongue. And I think Trump said, well, why didn't you tell us?
Well, that was Pompeo. He said, we're in the middle of a live exercise.
You're right. It was possibly a slip of the tongue.
So here's the smoking gun to me, is looking at all the numbers from all the different nation states. And the number that is the most significant, because I know from my sister and studying other virologists, there was a book that was written called The HIV Hoax, 2,000 Virologists Can't Be Wrong. Also, you can go online if you haven't seen it. Go look up Deja Vu. It's on YouTube. Deja Vu, 60 minutes documentary on the swine flu vaccination hoax that it either paralyzed or killed like 4,500 people. This is back in the 70s. And Peggy Hall out in California has a website called The Healthy American. And she's actually going through all the codes, rules, and regulations in these states. saying that California has violated the law because there's nothing in there that gives them any authority to do all this lockdown stuff. Same thing got ruled on in Pennsylvania here recently in, I think, state court or federal court, where they said that the lockdown was unconstitutional. So my whole thing is this. This was signed on to in 2007. These are treaties. That means the President of the United States and the Congress have to know these treaties. They have to. It's a must that they know them because it's part of the supreme law of the land. So you only got two options here. They either already knew and they kept it secret and didn't tell anybody, or they didn't know what they were supposed to know and they're incompetent and need to go anyway. And why would you want to be governed by the incompetent? As Plato said, the problem with not being involved with politics or getting involved in political matters like self-determination is you end up being ruled by your inferiors. And I appreciate that Plato said this, but if you're ruled by your inferiors, that makes you inferior because they're going to reduce you down, just like what's happened now. And it's really bothersome. It's bothersome for me. I don't like going out here and seeing all these people wearing masks, knowing that there's no reason that they should be wearing one. And I had to pick up a tractor part here recently, went into a John Deere store, and the guy's behind the plexiglass. He doesn't have a mask on. I said something to him about it and laughed. They said, well, you know, those things don't work. He pulls out the box from behind the counter that the corporation sent to them to wear the mask. And it says right on the box that the mask don't work. Warning, mask don't work. It's on the box. Now, how is it possible that these people at the UN, all these nation states, and by the way, when it comes to the U.S. and the Security Council, the World Health Organization cannot do anything outside their constitution without the approval of the Security Council, which is USA, Russia, France, China, and the UK. Those are the five permanent members. The WHO is not doing this. Bill Gates is not doing this. That's all a lie. They might be involved, but they ain't where they got their marching orders from. Nothing happens on this planet without permission or review of the Security Council of the UN. Nothing. Believe me, they have their intelligence agencies everywhere. People can deny whatever they want to deny. You can't deny black ink on white paper with the IHR 2005, the risk management report from the WHO in 2007, the ratification documents for 2007. There is a biosecurity document that was done in 2011 by the Stimson Institute, funded by the U.S. State Department. It was one of the other documents I found. And then, of course, the most telling document and what they did in New York with their little exercise back in October last year. All that was done based on that document that came out called The World at Risk in September 2019. And the interesting part of that document, as soon as I pulled it up, I'm like, wow, they got a picture of coronavirus and everybody wearing masks right on the front cover of this thing 6 to 8 months before it happened. That's part of the propaganda machine. It's a means of putting people into fear. And once they're in fear, they'll give up all kinds of control.
Yep. Amazing. A lot of great information. CDC says masks don't work. OSHA says masks don't work. Right on the box that the masks come in, it says masks don't work.
Yeah.
I mean, how much more evidence do you need that masks don't work? Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. See how much control they can have over people and see if people will follow those directions.
Right.
People are passing the test. They are following the directions. They're drinking the Kool-Aid. That's why we remain under a veil of ignorance. Okay, well, thanks, David.
Thanks a lot.